We continue our reading of the book of Hebrews, coming to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to read a relatively short but so significant passage today, verses 13 to 20 of Hebrews chapter 6. Now, we as a church, along with Reformed theology, are committed to what is called covenant theology. And one thing that means is we see a fundamental continuity between Old Testament Israel and the New Testament church. When we read our Old Testaments, we are not looking back into somebody else's religion. We're looking back in covenant history at another time when it was the salvation of our people. We are, as Paul put it, the church is the Israel of God. And the writer of Hebrews certainly takes that view. There's many Christians today who will say, no, it's not true. The Old Testament's not about us. We're different from Israel. Well, the writer of Hebrews' whole book is showing the relevance and the importance of these Old Testament passages for our faith. And he comes here to covenant theology by means of God's promise to Abraham. He's referring to Abraham, Genesis 15, when God comes to Abraham and he makes a promise to Abraham of the offspring as numerous as the sky, the people, and then also the land, the promised land. And he points out that God not only made a promise, you'd think that would be good enough. I mean, he's God, he makes a promise, he cannot lie. But no, he actually enters into a covenant oath. And you read in Genesis 15 how God went through with, before Abraham, with the ancient Hittite covenant-making form, animals were cut in half, and they're severed, and they're separated, and the two parties walk between the severed pieces. Quite the wedding ceremony that would be. And that, what they're saying is, if I don't keep my promise to you, let what happened to these animals be done to me. Now, the great thing about God's covenant with Abraham is that he goes through it alone. It's not him and Abraham. It doesn't rely on Abraham. It relies on God. It's sovereign grace. But the writer of Hebrews is saying, what was the point of all that? I mean, he'd already promised it. So why did he have to give this covenant oath by which God placed himself under this doom if he did not keep his promise? Well, it's a very important answer here. Verse 17, so when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. God placed himself in a covenant, under covenant oaths, so that you and I would have an absolute certainty that we can rely on this promise coming true. Verse 18, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, his promise and his covenant oath, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Why should we hold fast, he's arguing? These people are being persecuted. They may lose everything in a worldly sense for Jesus. Why should they hold fast? Because those promises of God are not only true in the sense that he promised them, he has placed himself under a covenant oath. You may bank completely on the promises of God in Jesus Christ. He will forgive your sins if you believe in Jesus. You will be an heir of eternal life, so press on. And then verse 20 is such a great verse. It actually concludes with an introduction to, I think it's one of the greatest chapters of the Bible, Hebrews 7, which talks about Melchizedek in Christ. But that's just a teaser transition. The great statement's verse 20. In verse 19, he's speaking of the covenant oath. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. We're anchored to the Lord. If it weren't for the covenant promises, we would be tossed back and forth, but we have it. The covenant oath is like an anchor in heaven. But you know, who is the one who secured that anchor there? And the answer is the Lord Jesus in his ascension into heaven. This word forerunner, he has gone as a forerunner into heaven on our behalf. It's a nautical term. And by the way, we don't know who the writer of Hebrew was, but we know he'd been a sailor. In this passage, we've got an anchor. We've had many other nautical allusions. The forerunner was a small boat that was used by a larger boat to carry the anchor into the harbor. And so you'd have a ship, and it needs to get to the harbor to be safe. And there's storms that can be destroyed outside the harbor, but the tide is down. It can't get over the shoals. So what it would do, they'd put the anchor in the forerunner. The forerunner would carry the anchor over the shoals into the harbor and would drop the anchor. And that's a picture, a beautiful picture of what Christ is doing for us now. You and I are not yet into heaven. We're still out of harbor. The destination is that safe harbor, that's heaven, but it is not, the time has not yet come for us to be carried into that harbor, but we're anchored there. We are secured because Christ has gone on our behalf. He is the fulfillment of the covenant oaths. And so if you look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only may you hope in some vague sense that someday you'll make it into heaven, you really have already been secured there. And through faith, you press on in faith, you are connected to an anchor that will hold forever and ever. Jesus, our forerunner, has taken the anchor of our salvation, and he has secured it in heaven. Well, for that having been said, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 13 of Hebrews 6. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor for the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God abides forever. Amen.